I'm Claire Fallon.
And I'm Emma Gray.
We are friends and reality dating show fans, and the only thing we love as much as love stories is lovingly snarking on them.
Whether you love love or love to hate it, listen to Love to See It, our podcast dissecting all the romance we see on screen.
From reality dating shows like The Bachelor and Love is Blind to classic rom-coms like You've Got Mail, we recap in obsessive detail and unpack all the weird messages they send us about love, sex, and dating.
Listen to Love to See It on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is WTIC's Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel and Dennis Halnan of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and Dennis by phone at 860-522-9842 or email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com. Get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here are Eric and Dennis on WTIC News Talk 1080.
And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Dennis.
And we are here till 11 o'clock. Two lines open for you. 860-522-9842 is the number. And we'll do our best to help you out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. And while I hear we make good pizza in Connecticut, what else do we make here in Connecticut? I was able to hang out with folks, the Connecticut Tool and Machining Manufacturing Association here in Connecticut. These guys actually make stuff. Here in Connecticut.
Make good stuff, too.
And it's amazing stuff that they make. And I was lucky enough to golf with 300 of them. And thankfully, it was a scramble. My goodness. but it was a nice day to actually work, hang out there with the makers here in Connecticut. But let's go on to your calls, and let's go to Kevin in Simsbury. What's going on there, Kevin?
Oh, how you doing today, guys?
Good, sir. How are you?
Good. Long-time listener. And based on just my background is that I'm pretty basic guy in this stuff. And based on your show, I kind of made the move to Proton Mail.
Awesome.
But, you know, there's not like a little person to talk to. You get letters back from them sometimes, and they do use some jargon. What I've got in front of me is make Proton Mail your default email application set as default. Now, I haven't done it because right now what I do is I use Comcast. I have an Apple phone, iPad, and a MacBook, and that's Safari.
Yeah.
And I have Gmail, and I have two Gmail accounts, and I have them combined somehow, so I get all those emails together.
Yep.
And then it goes to Proton, so mm-hmm. it comes out the Proton on my screen.
Yeah.
And, okay, so that's what I do. So then it's saying make Proton email your default email application set as default. And I don't know what's going to happen if I do that.
Well, okay. What will mainly happen is if you're on a website and you click on a link that will create a new email, it's called a mail-to:link,
mm-hmm.
but you don't necessarily see that, but you click on a link, it will open up whichever is your chosen default email client, whether it's a browser or the Proton Mail app.
Mm-hmm.
It will open that up and then create a new email in it, and then you would be able to fill that in and send your email. That is the main thing that happens with that selection. And if you want to know how to do that, we can post an article about it, and you can take a look at that. And you've got a Mac, and we've got an Apple support article about doing that.
Mm-hmm. And it's pretty straightforward.
Okay, so if it says set as default and I hit that right now, it is going to take me down a path. I do have a Proton email.
Right.
Yeah.
One that I give out to people and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But I didn't know if I'd made it as a default, if I would lose the Gmail stuff still coming into it.
Oh, no. No. This selection that you're making is very, very limited and very specific.
Okay.
And that's the main circumstance where you'll notice it. Okay.
Yeah, just saying okay. You want to use, you know, Proton Mail as your default mail client.
And that would be for outgoing mail. When you're on a website and it wants to create a new email, that will use the if you select that as your default, it'll make the Proton Mail be the one that sends it out.
Okay. Yeah. I just, you know, you don't want to press a button when you go, I have no idea what that means.
Yeah, no, it's okay. Now, now what'll really bake your noodle is you bring down ChatGPT as an app on your smartphone, and you could ask ChatGPT what that meant. And I'd be interested to know what the answer would be, but I suspect it'd be exactly what Dennis just said.
Right. Yeah. I've gone to it for some things, so yeah. That's pretty powerful.
We really need to start getting into doing more of that, hoping for good results, though, too. But it's a powerful tool for those types of questions. What does this mean? And sometimes it's going to take you down a weird rabbit hole, but most of the time it'll tell you some basic correct things.
Okay. And they also give me an option to use a Proton VPN.
Yes, sir.
And that, because currently it shows me that I have Comcast Cable is my ISP.
Right.
Know, location, then it gives me an IP address. Mm-hmm. So that's another not too dangerous flip.
That's a good thing, right? So if you're going to do anything on your computer that you want to have secure, more secure, you would enable the VPN. And instead of coming out of an IP address of whatever Comcast is reporting, you'll end up coming out wherever you tell it to. Like if you want to come out via Iceland, you could. Right. So whatever you're doing is you could search. Now, the problem is if you're looking for a Ford dealership, there might be an Icelandic Ford dealership that you're going to be shown as the closest dealership. Right. That becomes a problem.
Right.
But, you know, you could choose to set your VPN to be somewhere in the middle of the country. And now when you're online, everything's encrypted. Your communication between you and the interwebs is encrypted. And then, of course, when you go on to, let's say, a banking site or your financial planning site or whatever you're using, on top of them being encrypted, the fact that you went there was encrypted, as long as the DNS isn't leaking, which is not the case in Proton. You shouldn't have any leaking.
No, if you're
DNS.
Using the Proton VPN application or client, it shouldn't do that.
So it just helps you to be more secure, but it will cause some weird things because, again, wherever you put that VPN to pop out of, that tunnel you're using is going to be – it could be in the West Coast time all of a sudden. So now – even when you post time or post things in these applications, they could be incorrect times because of when you were connected and how you were connected and all that fun stuff.
Right. And sometimes streaming services will get thrown off and you might not be able to use them right. Or
use them at all.
They'll get sluggish they might not even function at all. So VPNs can do weird things to that. And also going to bank websites.
Yeah.
If you are VPNing through another country, they might block you if they detect that and say, no, we don't really do business there, so we're not going to let you in.
Right, which is a good thing.
Right. I mean, it's all in favor of your own security. We're just letting you know that these little kinds of snafus can come up and get in your way.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right. Well, appreciate it, guys.
All right, Kevin. Our pleasure.
I'll take step one and two.
All right.
Thank you.
You got it.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Kevin's getting defaulted. We're going to go on to a quick break here. And then Frank and Kelly, hang on. Two lines open for you. 860-522-9842 is the number. We'll be right back. All right. We are back. And we're going to be here till 11 o'clock. Let's get to your calls. You're nice enough to join us on this Saturday morning. Going to Kelly in Tallinn next. Hey, Kelly. Morning,
hey,
Kelly.
Good morning.
Morning. How are you?
Good. Love your show. I've learned a lot.
Awesome, thanks.
So, you want to hear about the fun stuff in Connecticut and what we make here first, or my problem?
Well, yeah. What would you think we should be marketing as to draw the Utes to stay?
What about Brownstone Adventure Park?
That's a good thing.
Rock climbing, zip lines, slides, inflatables, cliff jumps.
All right. Then what are you going to do with the other 53 weekends?
Quasi Amusement Park, Mohegan and Foxwoods. Besides gambling, they have adult go-karts, rock concerts, comedy shows.
There we go.
Okay. I think they have a Native American Indian museum there as well.
Yeah,
that's still open.
Yeah.
Hiking trails all over the place.
That's true.
And of course, we make submarines, planes, helicopters.
There you go.
Bigelow tea.
Yeah.
Pez candy.
Oh, right.
Wiffle balls and bats.
Right. Oh, I didn't know about that. Ice cream.
Yeah.
Oh, and hydrilla, but that's another story.
Oh, yeah. That's a whole other controversy.
Yeah, yeah.
So what else?
Okay.
What's going on?
A few years back, 2022, I bought a new laptop, which then I got busy and I didn't set it up yet. But so it said, oh, it's good to run on Windows 11. It's Intel Core i7 11th generation, so I'm hoping that upgrade will go through okay.
Yeah, sounds good.
Should.
And I'm also planning to install a new Office 2024. But in the meantime, I've been chugging along with some of my former, my Word documents, but I wasn't using Word and Excel and Outlook and all that, that other Office stuff or Office 365. Mm-hmm. So I used WordPad, but I saved it as a docx, or I've created some new documents using WordPad and saved it as docx. If I upgrade to Windows 11 and install Office 2024, will I have access to those files?
You'll have access to the files. WordPad is a different story.
I don't need WordPad if I get Office 2024. Yeah, I just want to make sure I can still use my and save and everything on the WordPad documents I saved as docx.
Well, yeah, because Office 2024 will read that stuff probably better than WordPad does.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
WordPad is a very old application, and it probably doesn't support all of the stuff in those formats, but those programs will. So
they're deprecating WordPad?
Yeah, going to be, if it isn't already removed from the computer, it will be.
Gotcha.
Yep.
With Office 2024, correct, or with Win 11?
Well, WordPad was included with Windows, and it's going to be removed from Windows.
Gotcha.
So it doesn't matter what else you install. Microsoft is doing away with it.
Gotcha.
Okay. And do you think my 11th generation Intel Core i7 is going to handle the upgrade?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, yeah. 11th gen will work fine.
Just make sure your TPM is turned on. Your TPM 2.0.
Make sure what?
Your TPM module is turned on.
He bought it in 22, so it should already be on.
All right.
It was about 2020 when the breakpoint happened with that being defaulted off as opposed to on.
So good. You should be in good shape.
TPM?
TPM.
Your TPM.
Trusted Platform Module.
Okay.
And
that would be in my settings, maybe?
It would be in your BIOS. And it would have to be enabled there. But I'm thinking that with the age of that computer, it should already be enabled by default.
That's great.
Yep.
I'm Claire Fallon.
And I'm Emma Gray.
We are friends and reality dating show fans. And the only thing we love as much as love stories is lovingly snarking on them.
Whether you love or love to hate it, listen to Love to See It, our podcast dissecting all the romance we see on screen.
From reality dating shows like The Bachelor and Love is Blind to classic rom-coms like You've Got Mail, we recap in obsessive detail and unpack all the weird messages they send us about love, sex, and dating.
Listen to Love to See It on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sounds good.
All right, Kelly.
Made my day.
Awesome.
Hooray.
Yay, hooray. All right, have fun.
All right, thanks, you too.
Yeah, you Bye-bye. Too. You got an upgrade coming.
Yeah. And there's also a tool we talked about last weekend where you can actually run it to see if you're quote-unquote ready for that upgrade, if your machine's going to be able to do it or not. Let's go on to Frank in Lebanon next. What's happening, Frank?
Good morning.
Morning.
Good morning. I have an older Dell laptop running Windows 10. And within the last couple of days, my keyboard stopped working. Mm. So I got the bright idea this morning. I plugged in a keyboard into the USB connection, and that works.
Look at you. But, you're hired.
There you go.
But, I've shut the machine down, turned it back on, and the keyboard doesn't work.
On the one you plugged in, the USB one or the old
one? No, on the laptop. The laptop keyboard that I plugged into the USB drive works fine.
Right. So on laptops, those do fail, and you can replace them. They are sometimes replaceable components on the laptop. It's not worth the headache to do it, and you really have to be willing to work on the tedious ribbon connectors that are part of a laptop keyboard.
Yeah.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, some of those little connectors are extremely delicate.
Yeah.
And if you don't remove the original exactly right, you can actually damage the socket so that even if you get a good working keyboard replacement and plug it in, it might not work.
So if you can use the USB keyboard, if you're fine, if that's not convenient and you need a laptop portability, we give you permission to replace the laptop.
Well, the my plan was to replace it anyways because it's not compatible with Windows 11.
There you go.
I just wondered if I had accidentally switched it off somehow or something along that line.
Highly doubtful.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think so.
No. All right, Frank.
Thanks. Listen, have a good day.
You too, sir. All right, that'd be a rare thing to have a feature like that, but it could exist.
Well, you can disable a keyboard in Device Manager, but that's a lot of steps. A
lot of work. We'll be right back. All right, we are back. And we're going to be here till 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online. 860-522-9842 is the number. So as we wait for your calls, four lines wide open, we do have a news story that's impacted our industry.
Yes.
Ingram Micro. A nearly $50 billion company was ransomed by the SafePay. Gotta love this gang name. SafePay Ransom Gang. And they got into their systems, into a $50 billion IT-based company.
They are a distributor, in case you haven't heard of them.
Right. And companies like ours and many others that are in our business will buy from Ingram Micro. They've been around forever. I've since the beginning of my career, 36 years ago, I've had an account with them way back when. But they were ransomed, meaning they couldn't sell stuff and deliver stuff, and they were impacted greatly for more than a week. SafePay gang talks about in their ransom demand of $2.some-odd million, says, hey, we've been in your systems for a while now. You guys have some bad security. Now, this is a technology company.
Right.
And you would assume because they're selling lots of the same technology and security products that companies like us are going to sell to our customers, that they themselves might have some even NFR copies if they couldn't afford it as a $50 billion company to put it in themselves of this technology. So how the ransomware gang got in. And it was poking around. At first, they mentioned possibly through VPN, through Palo Alto. But Palo Alto says, no, they didn't do that. But VPNs are one of the biggest methods that the bad guys get in. And the only reason a VPN is utilized is because somebody didn't configure two-factor authentication as part of the VPN. So a VPN doesn't mean it's the be-all and the end-all of your security. Think of the VPN as tinted windows on your car.
Right.
Right. Your whole car is tinted. Nobody knows who's in the car, but you're driving on the highway. The difference with a VPN, though, is that you're connected directly to the company. You need the second factor that says you can get in the car in the first place. So when you put the key in the car to get into your tinted window car, that key says, hey, wait a minute. Are you Dennis? And then something buzzes on your phone and says, I'm Dennis.
Right.
Okay, I'll let you into your tinted window car. And now you can go directly to your company. So what's going on here with Ingram Micro is something it should warn all businesses in Connecticut and anywhere that you need to be very vigilant. And I hear it all the time from clients and customers. It's just the expense of the security, right? And a tab is very affordable. But the expense of the security, all the layers you're putting in, all the technologies you're putting in from EDR, two-factor authentication, security awareness training, email defense, making sure people go on the web safely, web defense, vulnerability scanning, right? You know how many softwares are vulnerable that haven't been patched? That's one of the bigger aspects of folks getting into your systems. So who knows how they got into Ingram? We may never find out. But the point that they were impacted and probably have some of the best security out there should give you pause. Then everyone says, well, Eric, nobody's going after me. I'm not a $50 billion company.
Oh, no.
They're not using direct stuff here. They're think of the attacks as being under confetti or being watching fireworks and being the fallout, right? You're underneath it. They're sending email spams to everybody.
Right.
And if you click on the wrong link or you click on the wrong payload because they said you have an invoice here, hey, thank you for your order of $1,050. Please click here to pay. Well, you're going to get impacted.
Well, yeah. And while stories like this of, ransomware gangs taking over systems, they make the news.
Yeah.
One of the much more common things that happens is mm-hmm. what's called business email compromise.
Right.
And all that's taken over is not a network. It's not ransomware. It's not stuff like that. All that happens in one of those is that one single mailbox is taken over by bad guys. And then it's used by them to run scams, such as invoicing scams, where they will literally inject themselves into an email thread mm-hmm. where people may be discussing some kind of a contract or a purchase. Mm-hmm. They'll inject themselves and they'll say, when you send out that payment, wire it to this account number instead.
Right.
We've got a new account and we'd like you to pay that. And that'll just slip right into the conversation that's already been taking place mm-hmm. and everybody's already familiar with it. They see that and then bang, and money gets redirected to the wrong people.
Yeah.
And somebody gets taken for a ride. That is much more common than these ransomware attacks that we hear about.
That's true.
It happens all the time. And that's another thing that can be saved if you have two-factor on your access to a mailbox.
Right. And don't use the same passwords.
And don't use the same password for everything and all of the usual advice.
Yeah.
So.
Very good. Very good to let people know about this. Let's go to your calls. All of a sudden, we got three lines calling in here. Let's go to Jack in Torrington next. Hey, Jack, what's up?
Good morning, guys.
Morning.
I'm sure you've heard this one a million times, but I apparently wasn't listening at the right time. Ad blockers.
Yes.
I seem to be getting deluged more and more with these pop-up ads. You're in the middle of typing something, and the thing pops up and disturbs you, and you'd like to throw the computer out the window,
mm-hmm.
but that would be costly. So
yes.
Any suggestions?
Yeah, there's many. I like the Brave browser for blocking ads.
Well, Brave browser will block ads inherently. I believe Vivaldi browser will too.
Mm-hmm.
For other browsers like Chrome or Edge or Firefox, I'm particularly recommending uBlock Origin. As an extension that you install into the browser. But yeah, there are a lot of options.
Yeah. So we'll give you some links to the Brave, the browsers, the Brave and the Vivaldi. I haven't seen that one. And the plugins that Dennis mentioned. So you can go ahead and try it. Some of your websites you go to may not let you go anymore because you're blocking ads.
Yeah, and you'll get the site will tell you, yeah, you have your ad blocker on. Well, if it weren't for the fact that the ads are all, socked with malware and garbage,
right?
Maybe I wouldn't mind seeing your advertising. So can maybe guys clean up your site?
That'd be a good thing. Dennis isn't salty this morning, is he?
So I guess you guys are recommending Brave, huh?
I like Brave. Yeah, it's a fine little browser. It works for most sites. You can also use DuckDuckGo. They actually help too with some of that blocking. Lots of ways to do it.
Yeah, I typically use Edge. That's what I've been using for a long time.
And of all the browsers we tell you not to use, that'd be the number one.
That's the one, right?
Yep.
So I can switch to Brave without too much difficulty, I assume.
Yeah. Yeah. When you install it, it'll import your bookmarks and other information from whichever browser you want.
Yep.
And you can just go from there.
Then you'll be nagged by Microsoft for the rest of your life to say, hey, did you know you don't have Edge as your default browser? Would you like to make it your default browser?
Well, that's pretty typical of Microsoft. So
it sure is.
Anyhow, guys, I think that's a good start for me, and I thank you very much.
You're welcome, Jack. Good luck.
Take care.
All right, bye-bye. You too. Bye-bye. Ad blockers. Yeah, you're kind of right, Dennis. I mean, there's some ads, like if you're on social media or what have you, they, as far as I'm concerned, those ads tend to be better, more geared to you in a better way than regular browsing ads, especially on news sites. The news sites ads that pop up are just awful. Don't even make any sense. Let's go on to, we're going to Kathleen here in Rocky Hill. What's on, Kathleen?
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm okay, but a little upset. Don't know what happened. Okay. We have a desktop. It's an HP desktop. And a Brother printer, scanner, and fax machine. When we used to go to, for example, if I'm trying to print something from the Hartford Courant, I would just click on the document, hit print, a window would come up and, you know, ask you how you want to print it, both sides, whatever, and then hit print, and it would go directly to the printer and print. Now, when we hit print, a window comes up in the upper left telling us we have to download or we have to put the document in a file. And I have no idea what happened. Maybe you do.
Yeah.
Okay.
It no longer sees your printer.
What's happened is that you, your default printer in the application that you're using, it has switched from whatever printer you were using before to save as PDF.
Yeah.
Save as PDF is really a virtual printer. And instead of generating a page that comes out of a printer, it creates the PDF. All you have to do is click on that dialog and open up the list of printers that are available in the program and then select the one you want.
Okay, hold on. My husband's on the line. He's the one who's been trying to work with this.
All right.
So if you could just explain that to him, I would be in your debt.
This is classic, right? The wife calls for directions.
Yeah,
right.
Because my husband doesn't do this.
Because the man won't ask.
You're gonna understand when you talk to him. He doesn't like stuff like this.
I hear you.
But anyway.
We don't either.
Okay, here he is. His name's Michael.
Hi, Michael.
How are you?
Pretty good. When you open up your print dialog, and I assume you're doing this in a browser like Chrome or Firefox or something like that?
We have Yahoo, and our operating system is Windows 11.
Okay. Well, when you open up the print dialog with whatever you're using, there's going to be a line called Destination. And then there should be a pick list that you can click on.
Let's see. All right. I guess I'm not understanding when you say open up the dialog.
All right. When you set up the print, and it's showing you what it's going to print and where it's going to go, there is at the top of the dialog is a destination.
Hold on. I will try it.
Mm-hmm.
Wait. I'm Claire Fallon.
And I'm Emma Gray.
We are friends and reality dating show fans, and the only thing we love as much as love stories is lovingly snarking on them.
Whether you love or love to hate it, listen to Love to See It, our podcast dissecting all the romance we see on screen.
From reality dating shows like The Bachelor and Love is Blind to classic rom-coms like You've Got Mail, we recap in obsessive detail and unpack all the weird messages they send us about love, sex, and dating.
Listen to Love to See It on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I just lost it.
The great thing about Dennis is he describes all the actual aspects of what this is. You know, I wouldn't have called it a dialogue, but that's exactly what it is.
We appreciate this because you get the message that we're a little bit challenged.
It's okay.
But,
when you go to print, you're going to pick the doohickey that says destination. And you're going to choose
option. When you go to print, as soon as we hit print, that's when that strange window comes up that says.
Known as the dialogue.
That's the dialogue.
Yes.
So in that window is where he's looking for
a destination.
Yes.
Destination. Do you know where in that window? Left-hand side, bottom right?
Usually the top right. It's the most obvious
thing. Top right most of the time, but it could be anywhere. But you just look for that.
Is it right now?
The destination in that new window that's been popping up when we try to print something.
Right.
Yes.
Because it's asking you.
I'm going to do it right now. I'm hitting print.
Yep. Drum roll.
Okay. And over on the left-hand, come on, this stupid thing. Over on the left-hand side, it says print one sheet, printer, Microsoft print to PDF.
All right.
Right there.
Where it says printer.
Yeah.
There should be a pick list next to that.
Ability to choose.
And you should be able to click on that and then change it from Microsoft PDF. Print to PDF
right.
to whatever printer you're going to use.
The Brother.
The Brother printer.
Microsoft print to PDF.
Yeah, we don't want that.
You don't want that. What you're going to do is click on the pick list that is next to that. Or you're going to click
down?
On those
yes.
words, a drop down.
Okay,
yes.
It's a drop down. So there's an error,
I got the drop down. It says OneNote. Desktop protected, Microsoft print to PDF, add a printer. That's it.
Ah.
So you hit add a printer.
You lost your printer. Your machine doesn't see it. Ah, well, you got a printer, sir, but you don't.
Do.
Microsoft Windows doesn't know you got a printer.
You might have to click add a printer.
Add device. I'm going to do that.
There you go.
Or you might click on where it says see more if you see that.
Nope.
Okay.
All right, we're going to put you on hold. You're going to try to add your printer. We're going to put you on hold because we have to talk to you about how to add a printer. All right? Because we got to go to a break.
Okay.
But we're not leaving you. We're just going to put you on hold for a second.
Thank you.
Right.
Thank you.
Hang on. We'll be right back. All right. So we are on with Michael and Kathleen Hey, you there?
Yeah. I'm here. It says that the printer status is idle.
Hey.
Oh, that's fine. It means it's talking to it. It knows it's alive, but it's not doing anything, obviously, because you're not printing right now. So,
well, I tried to print, and asks me to put in a file.
Wait, did you choose the printer, or did you choose the file again?
Yeah.
No, I chose I've got the document list here. I've done this about a half a dozen times already. Trying to add the printer back. I mean, it was working fine. All of a sudden, it stopped working.
All of a sudden, I know. So, go ahead, Kathleen.
He had a window that said PDF, add a printer. And when he clicked on it, he saw our printer, the model number.
Yeah.
I don't know what you did from there, Michael, but I thought you were waiting to talk to them and then just hit it.
Well, I've already done that.
So
I'm back to add a device, add a printer or scanner, so I can click on add a device.
Yes.
Okay.
And, you want to say okay or apply. You want to make it happen.
Yep.
All right. Now, is that the choice now?
No, I've got sign in to your work or school account to find printers. The printer that I want isn't listed. It is.
All right. I don't know about signing in to add printers. That's not a thing.
No.
It says refresh.
Yeah, I don't know about that either. I'm still trying to figure out what program you're using. I know you're going to Yahoo Init, but are you using the Beach Ball? Are you using Edge, the little blue wave?
Yes, Edge, I believe, is the little blue wave. That's also.
All right. Mm-hmm. So you're in Edge. Hold on a second.
You know what you can do too. Go ahead, Dennis.
Well, no.
Do you have a Word doc? Any kind of Word editor? Any kind of other program besides what you're using here to print these articles?
No, because that's basically all we've been printing is articles from the paper.
That's cool.
Yeah, but I've never had an issue with just printing. All of a sudden, I get this.
Yeah,
we know all of a sudden. Our life is all of a sudden, so trust me.
Exactly. I know. I wish
bring up,
that.
Bring up a... No, no, don't. It's cool. It's fine. If you bring up another application that might print, my point is here, we want to get your printer working with another application just to see that we can get it to communicate with your computer. That's my thought. Dennis is going to look at the Edge to see why it's disconnected. Somehow, your computer is not quite fully seeing this printer. It should see it by default. And we know it's there. It showed as idle. And the fact that it shows
it says, it says idle, and I, as I said, I've been fooling around with this thing for 3 days.
Okay,
now.
So if we were to get out of the current, let's say, he's in his email. That's how, or right. No, he brings it up on the homepage.
Yeah.
And we were to go to Word,
yeah.
And, you know, where we've saved a bunch of documents.
Right,
right.
You're saying try to print something from that.
Yes.
Right.
See if you can choose that printer. See if the dialogue comes out, and if it comes up as saying, again, print a file, you're back in the same boat. There's something up with how your printer is configured. But go ahead, Dennis. You have another idea?
No, I was going to.
All right, same idea. There's something disconnected about that that's happened.
Okay. And I know you're probably getting close to needing to finish the program. So
sadly.
Yeah, no, I wished I had called sooner. So what we can do right now is I understand most of what you said.
Mm-hmm.
We can try it, and if not, I'm going to call you again next week.
Well, there's another idea, too, that you can do, because you've been trying this thing for the past 3 days, and the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again. So
the
make and model was a Brother AI all-in-one what?
It's a Brother printer scanner. Fax.
Yeah, what's the model number?
MFC-L2750DW.
Okay, NFC dash.
Do it
MFC,
again.
C is in Charles.
Dash L2.
L2750DW.
All right, we're going to try to find the actual software to install that. So you can go ahead to Brother itself, download the installer software, and see if it can help you.
Yeah, I did that already.
All right, and no luck?
No. Nope.
Could you even print a test page?
I went to the Brothers. I Googled Brothers. I went to brothers.com.
Yeah.
And I listed the printer.
Yep.
And then it said download software. I've got a driver disk, but they said it's outdated, so
it
I was going to download it off the website, which I did.
Yep.
And it wouldn't install.
All right, so we're going to find the right link for you, I hope, Michael. But we're going to let you go, and we will be here next Saturday. But
okay.
We're close. Do you have a 15-year-old in the neighborhood?
Yeah, but they're all working. They don't have anything to do with us. But
oh,
no.
They're not working. Yeah. All right, I want to thank you all, you guys, for joining us on this show today. Thank you, Carolyn. Thank you, Mike G.
I'm Claire Fallon.
And I'm Emma Gray.
We are friends and reality dating show fans, and the only thing we love as much as love stories is lovingly snarking on them.
Whether you love love or love to hate it, listen to Love to See It, our podcast dissecting all the romance we see on screen.
From reality dating shows like The Bachelor and Love is Blind to classic rom-coms like You've Got Mail, we recap in obsessive detail and unpack all the weird messages they send us about love, sex, and dating.
Listen to Love to See It on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.